All right, out here on the edge of Overlook Park, looking out at the city. Donovan, what do you got to talk about today?
As you get older, I've started to think about, like, recently in the past month or so, this idea of if long-term happiness is possible, or if to some degree, like, life, you're resigned in life to a series of moments and a series of days that have some sort of, you know, drudgery to them, you know, or if we can find something where we're like proud of what we do and we're happy with what we're doing, that also gives us the means to make a living and have the standard of life that we want, or if everything in life is just a series of sacrifices, you know. So I'm not sure if these things are possible as we get older, or if they just take more work.
Part of happiness seems to me, the fleetingness of it seems to kind of go back and forth a lot with your bank account, with your paycheck. It's kind of crazy how much we rely on money to derive our happiness. And maybe a big part of that is having money in politics. Money in politics seems like a crucial issue that we're not really paying attention to these days, as we're talking about pipelines and shootings and all of these things. And we're not going down to the root issue. And the root issue is that the policies that could fix these things, the policies that could bring more steady happiness to people's lives, the happiness that doesn't fade because of fear of not being able to eat, not being able to afford your car payment, not being able to afford your food. These kind of fears would go away and dissipate when you actually felt like you were taken care of by your government. I mean, we see this with a lot of socialist countries in Scandinavia that's, you know, always pointed to. I mean, they have some of the happiest people in the world. By whatever ranking you do that by, it still seems to be that there is something to not fearing a lack of wealth.
Yeah, well, I think so. Part of that idea is that if there's two questions of happiness. One is, you know, is your survival covered? If you do not have the means to survive, if you do not have guaranteed shelter, if you don't have guaranteed food, then your whole existence is predicated upon getting to that level, right? And so that's where, like, social programs, like the Scandinavian countries that you're talking about, how they have that, like free education, a basic minimum income, a good economy. So when those things are met and provided by society, then we can answer these more existential questions of, you know, what do I want to do with my life? What is the type of person I want to be? What's the type of life I want to have? And these are the ones that I think are more nebulous and harder to define and harder to answer, because, you know, our emotions change on any given day, in any given moment. They can change at our own will if we do something like meditate or take a shot of tequila, but they can also change almost seemingly against our will with the winds of fate. And that's why it's so much harder to answer these questions, because it fucking begs the question if we're even in control of them at all.
You know, I just recently saw something by a woman who was talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and he said Maslow actually had another layer to add. He wanted to just get his paper out, but he knew that he wasn't going to be able to finish the complete thing. So before he passed, he said, all right, we're stopping with self-actualization. But she said there was another layer in his notes, and that's transcendence. And I find it very interesting that transcendence is beyond self-actualization, because I think that you can self-actualize in this world. You can self-actualize financially and set yourself in a position where you're creating art, you're doing something you love, and you're making money off of it. And, you know, there's a beauty in that that many of us would look at and say, that's self-actualization. They've made who they really want to be into their living, and they do it every day. But I don't know if that really is enough. I think that you really do have to talk about some kind of connection with something greater than self. Just performing a task that you like to do, even if it is something that you're passionate about, I don't know if it's enough. Maybe you get a little taste of it in the flow state, but maybe there is something beyond performing a task, performing an activity, performing a passion, where you're kind of feeling like you're part of God in a way, whatever way you define God. But this is something that, you know, you seek out with drugs, and you seek out with meditation, and you seek out with sex, and you seek out with all kinds of things. But I think if you don't cultivate that transcendence past self-actualization, you might not actually find a lot of peace in your life.
Right. Well, and it's interesting, because it's like, what if transcendence itself is fleeting too? Like, what if all these things are fleeting? You know, what if, you know, in some way we are, no matter what we do, no matter what kind of concepts we devise, if we are beholden to the chemicals in our brain, and there's only so much serotonin and dopamine that we can, you know, drip down at any given time. And so at a certain point, you know, no matter how happy you are, how ecstatic you are, how content you are, at a certain point, the chemicals have got to recharge and you're just gonna face a lull. Like depression, I think it actually is a part of our existence. It necessarily is a part of our day-to-day, and that's the inherent lie that goes into every pill that they try to sell us, is that, you know, depression is a fact of our existence. You know, maybe feeling kind of shitty about things is a fact of our existence. We can't continually ride the high, and I think we're trying to in our society. I think we're addicted to this idea of outrage, and we're addicted to this idea of, like, of being happy and being content, when, like, sometimes just the fucking drudgery of the day, of just getting by, is a very real reality that we have to face. And no amount of checking our phone and checking Twitter and checking Facebook is gonna satisfy that. Sometimes you're just fucking sitting there and you're bored.
I think that it's definitely fleeting. I think in my mind, that's not a what if it is fleeting. The beauty of happiness, the true happiness, comes in acknowledging that it definitely is fleeting, by telling yourself that you're not going to expect everything to be perfect all the time. For me, one of the things I realize is that some of my best days of my life are always followed by my worst days. And that's because I've just had this amazing human connection. I felt super productive, super creative, and I'm feeling super alive. And then the next day I'm like, man, if I'm not touching that level again, what's the value of my life? Like, I'm moving backwards. You know what I mean? And it's like an ocean. It's like the waves. The tide comes in, the tide goes out, you know? And it's constantly going to keep happening, and you just have to acknowledge that that is the natural flow of the world. That is the natural way the world works. It works in cycles. It's never supposed to be one or the other. That's why we have seasons. That's why we have entropy, and we have plants that grow out of, you know, dead matter. That's why we have that cycle. And, you know, I've listened to a lot of the, I can't remember his name, but he runs the Flow State Institute, and one of the things he talked about that really struck me was, said after an extreme sports athlete or an artist or a performer takes part in their activity and they tap into that flow state, they have a crash. They actually have a dopamine crash and a neurotransmitter crash, where all of those amazing chemicals that were keeping them super focused and feeling in the pure moment suddenly wash out, and the receptors need time to relax. So it's even proven in the flow state that when you have a super in touch moment with, again, perhaps God, because you've completely turned off every sense of I, you're just purely in the moment as you channel a story, or as you watch the foot or watch the board at your feet move as you do a trick, and there's no time to actually analyze it. It's just muscle memory. And immediately after that, you have to crash. You have to have a come down phase. Like, so I think the fleetingness of happiness is definite, and I think the best service we can do to ourselves is to simply acknowledge it and to let it be okay.
Right, but that's easier said than done. You know, I mean, like, it's hard to say things should just be okay. Like, part of the Sisyphusian pushing the boulder up the rock of existence is that, like, it pushes back down, like that weight wears on you, you know, every day. And it's harder to just be like, you know, things are okay, or things, you know. To me, one thing that I've realized is that, you know, some days I'll have this insane passion for, like, you know, doing things and creating and going out and connecting with people. And then other days I'm just like, fuck, you know, there's just nothing there, you know? And it's like, how do you not? And then when you compound this with, like, the normal trivialities of our life, the traffic that you happen to be stuck in, the line that takes too long, you know, our families, which have their own, you know, weight on our shoulders. It's like, how do you find this continual rebirth of passion for life? You know, how do you sustain that? And it was Bukowski, you know, for all of his significant flaws, it was like, you know, you keep this little light of flame inside of you, and you never let it burn out. And I think maybe that's what happens to people when they get older. Just the weight of the world just, like, pushes and pushes and pushes until that flame goes out, and they kind of die a little bit in the inside, and they become this facade of something that, you know, chunks through the world like a zombie, and never really feels the way that it felt when it was younger, because it let go of something that you cannot get back, because there's a finality to existence that is simultaneously frightening and necessary to value the things that we have.
And I think that's why, you know, Eastern philosophy always speaks to me so much, is because it acknowledges in its first tenet, it just straight up says the universe is suffering. So then from there it says, don't attach to anything. I mean, there's an acknowledgement that the universe is going to go about itself. Other human beings are going to do whatever they do. No one is working in your favor except for you. You have to really acknowledge that there's 8 billion people in a massive ecosystem that does not give a shit about you. And it's not nihilism, it's liberation. It's the ability to acknowledge the fact that you are not bound to be anything but what you want to be. And the beauty of acknowledging this chaos is the fact that you can step aside and say, I don't care if the traffic's bad, because I'm going to go home and do something I love tonight. You know what I mean? And maybe I'm going to keep moving that thing I love a little bit closer towards fulfilling me or getting me by and helping me escape this fucking hellacious capitalist system that we live in. And now I'm not saying that there's not a definite vicious cycle that we are put under as we're oppressed by the very money and politics system that we previously talked about. I think that's the real issue, again, is the fact that we have 85 people in this world who have the same wealth and power as 3.5 billion. 3.5 billion people have less wealth than the amount of people that can fit on a school bus. So when you look at that, you know that there is a major weight that happens to us that goes beyond the capriciousness of a universe that is in chaos. So I think it's, for me, it's about kind of fighting that system, and it's about acknowledging that we're in that system and not getting crushed by it. And at the same time, just trying to maintain a path where we keep that flame alive, where we don't let that flame get snuffed out. It's so important to make sure that you don't let the little shit get you down, because that stuff is out of your hands.